Thank you, Madam Chair. A very good afternoon to one and all, and a warm welcome back, delegation. Today, I will be dealing with issues arising from paragraphs 17 and 19. I will start with issue 17, persons deprived of their liberty and conditions of detention. Yesterday, though, we already had the opportunity to hear from you on several aspects of this issue, but today I would like to focus on more concrete aspects of this issue. I have to begin by mentioning our concerns expressed in our previous concluding observations about the prison infrastructure, conditions in places of detention, and overcrowding. Regrettably, those concerns are still present. We have been informed that overcrowding in Ecuadorian prisons is one of the most serious and persistent problems. The overpopulation generates inhuman living conditions where detainees face problems with health, hygiene, and access to basic services such as food and water, electricity, and health service. Overcrowding makes effective prison management difficult and exacerbates tensions between inmates, which can lead to situations of violence. I would like to underline that from the perspective of this committee, the issue of overcrowding is not confined solely to the living space within the cells. It rather covers all premises in use by inmates, outdoor space, usage of hygiene premises, potential vocational training programs, etc. Also, inadequate conditions in prisons combined with overcrowding generate tension between inmates, which can lead to another serious problem in prisons, and that is violence between inmates and violent attacks on prison staff. The committee notes that the respectful state party has introduced new prison management model with results below expectations. As we know, since January 2024, with the entry into force of decrees 110 and 111, the overall prison capacity has increased by 7.8%, and as of April 2024, there were 17 centers with critical overcrowding greater than 120% and 7 with overcrowding. We would like to hear from you, what other steps is State Party preparing to undertake to improve the overall prison conditions, including overcrowding? Has the State Party established new healthcare measures, thus preventing the spread of infectious diseases and providing timely healthcare for all those in need? Has the State Party faced with issues of serious malnutrition of inmates, undertook measures for the improvement? Since all the mentioned problems, including prison violence, are more present in the so-called mega prisons, has the State Party considered establishing a number of new penitentiary facilities that would be easier to manage? Now I will move on to my next issue that deals with trafficking in persons. At the outset, I would like to commend detailed explanation within the report regarding certain aspects of mentioned issues. The committee notes the effort of the respectful state party to organize trainings so far. Besides trainings mentioned in your report, the committee recognizes that training of prosecutors, judges, and advocates, lawyers, sensitizing these group of actors in the overall frame of combating human trafficking is of the utmost importance. Training of mentioned judicial actors should strengthen their efforts for valid incrimination of an offense and preserve from incrimination under offenses that are better known but do not cover the specific substance of modern slavery. Have those trainings been already organized? In the view of the previous, we would like to hear about the prospect of organizing specialist prosecution office focused on crime of human trafficking, as well as specialized branches for children victims. With regard to human trafficking prosecutions and sentences that you have reported us about, we would like to hear more about reparation and compensation of victims. What is the number of compensations awarded? Can victims achieve compensation within the criminal procedure, or do they have to undergo civil suits for compensation? What safeguards are in place to protect victims themselves from criminal accountability? What methods have you developed with regard to victims' identification, particularly of women and children, migrants and refugees, as well as potential victims? And my last question would be, what has been done to promote the social inclusion of victims, including migrants, asylum seekers, other foreigners, to protect them from re-victimization, re-trafficking, and empower them through access to the education, vocational training, and labor market? Thank you very much.